Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we visit with Mr. Terry Burks, retired educator and livestock judge from South Central Kentucky. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hello, Jay.
How's Vicki and David doing today?
Doing really good. Doing really good.
We're all the way over in Bowling Green recording today, and unlike usual, we all drove separately to get here. We all come from different directions.
That's right.
And kind of showed up at one place. So
that's right. Vicki didn't talk my leg off on the way over here. That's the first time that's happened in a minute.
So
I can't help it.
So
I just like to have conversation.
I didn't say two words the last time we went to E-Town, I don't think, all the way from Madisonville to E-Town.
Well, that's not a bad thing. You probably learned a lot,
though. I did, I guarantee it. It pacified Vicki, too,
mm-hmm.
when she does that. That kind of pacifies her.
That's
so
right.
She can let loose and, and kind of vent about some things, and that's always a good thing.
She was getting wound down before she had to get on the microphone.
That's the key right there.
So
that's the key.
We're talking about showing livestock today. Of course, I grew up showing horses, and I can always remember those horses through the years that had to be rode down pretty good before you could put them in the ring. That's kind of what we're talking about there. So understand the concept pretty well.
Absolutely.
Got a guest with us today, Mr. Terry Burks. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm great, guys. How are you all?
Oh, doing great. Glad to have you on here, and glad to spend the day, the afternoon anyway, talking about the wealth of experience that you've had in this country and other countries as well. So we're really glad to have you on today.
Well, it's very kind of you guys. Appreciate the opportunity. You know, you guys are famous now. You know, you're national award-winning podcast. You know, this is an honor for me, so I appreciate the chance to talk with you guys.
If I hadn't figured it out, he's full of it. I don't know if anybody's figured it out yet or not.
Like they say, flattery will get you everywhere.
So. That's right.
Now, we do appreciate you being on here with us today. Won't you take just a little few minutes up front and tell a little bit about yourself, your background, where you come from, and how you got to where you are today?
Well, I appreciate this chance to share my story a little bit with you guys. I'm originally from Boswell, Indiana, so obviously I've been in Kentucky long enough to not sound like a Hoosier anymore. So, but born Boswell, for those listening that don't know, is kind of northwest of Lafayette, Indiana, upper Purdue area.
Yeah.
So my father managed a cattle and sheep operation there, and so that was my earliest beginnings, my earliest memories of agricultural life was in northwest Indiana. My father passed away, would have been the summer between first and second grade for me. And so all of our family, both my mother's side and my father's side, was from South Central Kentucky in the Barron County area. So we moved back, and so I went to Barron County High School and was very involved in 4-H and FFA activities. I was very blessed in my years. I was a state FFA officer and got to travel the state. And I grew up showing Simmental cattle back in the days of the red and white spotted ones and the yellow and white spotted ones. And was very active in the American Junior Simmental Association. But as a part of me showing livestock, I became involved with Barron County's 4-H livestock judging team. And so was very honored in 1979, kind of date myself here a little bit. My first year of eligibility as a senior, I made the gold team with the state of Kentucky and got to travel with Dr. Monty Chappell, who was running the 4-H program at that time, the livestock judging, and was on the state team. And you know, it's kind of like one of those light bulb moments. You know, you have that thing that, you know, as young people, whether maybe you like things or you don't like things, but something about competitive livestock judging just really, it just lit me up. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole aspect of meeting people and traveling and doing those things. And So to make a long story short, I go to college here at Western, did my undergraduate here under Dr. Gordon Jones. Of course, he was coaching the judging team at that time. Miss Kay Curry, who's now at Middle Tennessee State University, was her assistant coach then. She was a graduate student. And so I worked out with the team for about 3 years just because here at a regional university like Western, at that time, we just never had enough to field a competitive team. Mm-hmm. On my junior year then, which was 1986, I got to travel and compete with the team and was very, very blessed that every contest we went to, other than the national contest, I was never below second.
Wow.
So I really just, I mean, it was one of those things, I just loved it. I loved that whole aspect of it, the reasons, the competitiveness. Then I had the opportunity to coach the team here at Western as a senior in high school, or in college. And that's when Jason P. Poole was on the team and a lot of the folks that that we know here in the state. I then started my master's at the University of Tennessee and was working with the judging team there. And, you know, like lots of us young folks, you know, there was this little gal back here in Kentucky. And so the next thing you know, I've quit graduate school at UT and come back and got married and those kind of things. But Gordon Jones, my major professor, contacted me. My wife kind of wanted to go back to get her master's. She was in the geography department through community development. Mm-hmm. And Gordon said, well, just come on back and do your master's here. Finish your master's here. So I did that and coached the team. And so to make a long story shorter, I started judging competitively as a professional my first show was December 1986, I guess. Mm-hmm. And if the good Lord's willing and I live through this weekend, I will have judged my 1,200th national show.
Wow.
In my career. And that's with an 8-year layout when we spent a little time in the countries of Mexico and China. So
I am the one in the room here. I know the listeners can't see us. There's four of us sitting in here, obviously. But I'm the only one, I believe, of the four of us that has never showed any livestock. I didn't show any livestock, and I didn't grow up showing livestock. But and David's heard me say this before, and Jay, and even our listeners. But I have had such a respect for the whole livestock showing industry, or the educational part of it, the work that these youth put into these projects, and it's a whole family affair. It's not just the 4-H or the FFA member that is doing that. It's the whole family. But even further than that, the amount of volunteers and the amount of folks that it takes to put on those shows, and certainly the judges. You know, in 1,200 shows, that just blows my mind. I mean, it absolutely blows my mind that, you know, that's a lot of shows. And so kudos to you and congratulations. And that number alone speaks high of the respect that you have, that people have of you in this area of livestock showing. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's It is an honor to me. I mean, the world of livestock showing, sometimes it gets a little bit of a bad reputation that, oh, it's just too competitive. People spend too much money. People spend this. People do that. But to me, the thing about livestock judging is when I started, my approach was, I grew up through the show ring. And so I always wanted to be able to give back. I want every child that sets foot in the show ring under me for two or three things to happen. One, I want them to feel like they had a fair shot. It doesn't matter if they've got, if they've got a ridgeback or they've got the greatest little belted barrow that's ever walked, I want them to feel like when they come in the ring, they got a shot. Second, I want it to be a positive experience. So those who have watched me judge know that, to me, it's about the cooperation, not so much with the pig, but between me as the judge and that child. Because I want it to be positive. I want them to leave the ring, even if they're last, feeling like, that was cool. I enjoyed that. I want to do that again. Mm-hmm. And then I think what you said is exactly right. The thing that gets missed so many times is the work ethic, the teaching of responsibility, the amount of work. Kids don't win shows at the show. They win shows from the work they do at home. And and I can tell you, there are kids in this very state, in the state of Kentucky, that basically live at the barn. But that's their sport. That's that competitive. Maybe they aren't athletic. You know, I wasn't very athletic, and you can look at me and tell that. But, you know, to me, my sport, my competitive nature was fulfilled with livestock, be it judging, be it showing. And so that's the great thing about it, is it provides that educational, that compassion that young people develop for things is really expressed in the livestock world. And so it's a great, I tell people all the time, I'm convinced youth livestock programs are the best youth development program in the country. And I believe that because I grew up through it. I grew up through it and understand that.
Do you see, in the years that you've been doing this, do you see kids come through that typically they may not have, their parents may not have a cattle operation or whatever species they're showing. They may not have it, but they've got, you know, their show animals, and that is their livestock. Maybe they live in a place that they don't have the space to be able to actually have a herd, so to speak, but they have two or three animals.
Oh, sure. I think, you know, when you go back to the 70s and the 80s when I was showing, that's probably the biggest change that we have seen is, you know, in those early years, if you showed livestock, your family was in the livestock business, basically, be it horses, be it hogs, be it sheep, be it whatever.
Sure.
But today, it's really become so, you know, there are all tons of these co-op barns where a county maybe leases a barn or has a facility. And so all the kids, maybe they live in town. Mm-hmm. No big deal. But they keep their livestock at a central location, and then they all go to the show together, so it becomes a team thing. And so you're right, that's probably the biggest change we have seen over the years is this transition from it just being agricultural families involved in the livestock world to any child that... If they want to show, there is a way for them to show livestock.
Yeah, I will have to say, and I'll have to admit, Terry and I go back a little ways, a little bit, and I will credit him and Miss Alice for instilling in my kids some of these same desires that he has, the work ethic and the work at home. And I've heard him say 100 times. You know, the show's won at home. It's not won at the show. So you have to work really hard to be in this livestock showing business. And I never will forget the first show that we showed under Terry was at Bowling Green. And John David didn't do too good in showmanship. And, of course, Terry had the expectation. And he and I will throw Warren Beeler in on this, too. If you show under them and they know you, you got to have a darn good day, because if you don't have a darn good day, you're not going to win. And I never will forget the comment that he made, and he said, John David's stuck in first gear, and he needs to be in about fifth. mm-hmm. you know, when he's showing. So that was some place for us to work for, and we started mm-hmm. talking with Terry, and he started helping us a little bit, and we've gotten better. And we had a lot of success with him helping us, and I mean, just with everybody here, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you working with my kids. And the great thing about that is it's not only my kids, it's a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. He has helped a ton of kids over the years and doing the same thing he helped us with. And, you know, I one, appreciate that very much. So thank you for all that you've done for my family and for a lot of other families.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that. I do remember that particular show very well, and I was very honest with John David. But now, in John David's defense, and David's just a little bit, they have never let me forget that I beat on John David pretty hard that day. But I will say, the great thing about David's family and his kids showing, John David and Ellie, and so many families, those hardworking families learn more when they get beat mm-hmm. than when they win, because it just, families like that, it drives them to get better, to get mm-hmm. better. Yep. You know, so many times today, be it sports, be it whatever a child's involved in, if they have that instant success, sometimes they begin to expect that. And so those things that it takes to win at home, maybe they don't do as much. Maybe I'd rather sit at the house and watch, play on, you know, of course that was, you know, play on the games or whatever. But those kids who taste a little success, but they have to work at it so hard. I mean, it changes their lives. And I'm a perfect example of that. You know, I still to this day have the first ribbon I won at the Kentucky State Fair. Mm-hmm. In those days, all the shows were on the Danish system, meaning you got a blue ribbon, a red ribbon, or a white ribbon based on quality. Now, you want the blue, you're not so happy with the red, and you don't want a white. I kept that white ribbon that I got. Now, that heifer won the county fair, so I thought she was a great one. Mm-hmm. Get to the state fair, and she's a white ribbon on the Danish system. And I told my parents going home, driving home back to Barron County from Louisville, that will never happen again. And I can tell you it never happened again in my lifetime. Now, that doesn't mean I won many banners in my life. I wasn't one of those kids who, you know, we showed what we raised. Good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. But it taught me so much about you win at home. You really have to do all that work. And I'm so honored to me, you know, David brings up working with his family. I've been very blessed in my life in the state of Kentucky. I have worked with families that have won every species at the state fair in the final drive, be it cattle, be it the steer show, be it the hog show, be it the sheep show, be it the goat show. And so that to me, you know, it wasn't me winning, but I take such pride in the fact that I could be a part of those families' lives in helping them reach their goals.
I think one of the things about any kind of competition, And like you said, be it sports or livestock or whatever the competition is, it's wonderful to know what it feels like to win. But we all have to learn how to lose. We have to learn that. And the earlier that we can learn that and be gracious in that, the better off we're going to be and the more successful that we're going to be from that point on. Because we're not going to win everything we set out to do. We're not going to be picked first. We're not going to get every job we apply for. All of those things outside of the arena. But if we can learn that in the arena or on the court or on the field and learn both sides of that, that's going to make our youth and, well, ourselves, more successful in the long run.
Oh, I agree. I, I conclude every show, you know, those of you who have ever been to a livestock show know that right before you pick the big one at the end, the judge usually gets on their soapbox and gives a little spiel. And every junior show I judge, I usually try to share some kind of little story with them. But it ultimately comes down to this. One is that they need to understand that winning's not guaranteed, but it's what you get out of this program that's far more important than the winning side. And the second thing is they need to be thankful. They need to be thankful that they're born in a country where they can pursue this. You know, I spent 5 years in the country of China, and when I talked to those kids about livestock showing, they didn't have a clue what I was talking about because they don't have anything like that there. And so I tell kids to be thankful. Thank their mom and dad. Thank grandma, grandpa. Thank whoever it is that makes a way for them to be involved in this sport that they play, because when they get our age and they look back on these experiences, you'll find that the banners and the trophies fade long before what you really gain from this whole youth livestock program, be it judging or showing. And so that's what I want kids to understand is, I tell them it's one fat, bald-headed guy's opinion. and you know, they all giggle at me. But the thing is, it's just an opinion. So maybe today you win and tomorrow you lose. But it's not about the winning and losing. It's about what you take from the experience that changes you as a person.
You know, I think you said that very well. I think we as a country have inappropriately misaligned success and winning. I know a lot of, well, I'm looking at people all across this room right now who have been successful in their lives that may or may not have done a lot of winning at whatever they participated in when they were in school, you know, whether it was livestock showing, horse showing like I did, playing football like I did. We've misaligned the idea that success equals winning. And it just doesn't. You can be very successful at a lot of things and never win a ribbon, I feel like.
Oh, I agree. I think success, I get the opportunity because of my judging to go and speak to a lot of youth groups, and I enjoy doing that, be it putting on clinics or just speaking to them from a leadership perspective. And I always spend a lot of time about that. You know, the first thing I ask them is, what are your goals? What do you hope to achieve from this? You know, I want to win the state fair. I want to win this.
Want that buckle.
And you know, and my next question to them, and I look them right, those kids right in the eye, and I said, so if you don't win that, does that mean this has not, you have been unsuccessful, you failed in this project? You know, and they just kind of look at you like, And I think you're exactly right, Jay. So many times we associate winning with success. But I shared this little story with you. I love this story. I was judging a regional sheep show in the state of Tennessee one year. And there was a little girl there showing. And I knew her family by reputation, and she was mentally and physically handicapped. And, you know, in the show world, we have the blues and the reds and the whites, and as you keep going down the line, you get to those earth tone colors, the pastels and the earth tone colors.
I remember Terry telling us, he said, we don't want them pastel ribbons. We don't want them pastel ribbons.
I've heard about them, but I don't have any myself.
So this girl got a lot of pastel and earth tones that day, and so the show's over, and as typical of most shows, you know, families come up and they thank you. They may not like what you did, but they typically thank you. Well, that all kind of ended, and then I saw her and her father, by reputation again, coming towards the ring, and I thought, oh, here we go. Going to get my chewing so I can go home. And that little girl walked up to me, and she had all those ribbons in her hand. You know, the light green and the brown and the gray and the pink ones. And she looked at me right in the eye, and she said, aren't these the most beautiful colored ribbons? You know, I bawled. Her daddy's bawling, I'm bawling. But what it made me realize is it's not all about women.
Mm-hmm.
You how you look at things and how you perceive life, you know, she got it. Maybe we look at that young lady as a failure, but absolutely not. Mm-hmm. She understood, even in her fragile state, mm-hmm. what was important. Mm-hmm. And so it really, I think about that experience so many times when I'm judging a show and a kid gets second and they just get mad and throw a fit right in the ring, you know, and you're going, I wish you could meet that little girl. Mm-hmm. I wish you could understand, because that child didn't learn that on their own. They learned that I got to win attitude from maybe a parent somewhere. And it just makes you really think about what's really important in this mm-hmm. project. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think, unfortunately, be it sports, be it whatever, mm-hmm. we lose that perspective sometimes.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And whether it's sports, whether it's livestock judging, I think we as the adults in the situations need to remember and help remind others that this is an activity that's helping this child be molded into an adult, whether it's sports, whether it's mm-hmm. livestock showing. You mentioned 4-H. As being a big help towards getting you started in that judging. I think 4-H is a wonderful avenue for kids help to learn those life skills. But that's what it all should be about, is these are just activities that we're using as building blocks to build adults with.
Go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to tell a story, and you know, Terry was talking about, you know, it takes some of us longer to learn what you just talked about. When I was growing up, I showed cattle, and my dad was not a show jock by any stretch. And I had a lot of those earth tones and different colored ribbons. And so when my son decided he wanted to show, I thought to myself, when I let this happen? You know, so the first year, I just got a pig out of the hog house, and we actually showed that pig at the state fair, and we got the gate. And when that pig walked out the gate, I said, this is not happening no more. We're not having this. And so it took a little bit to light my fire. But then, you know, and I was kind of like some of those folks, and I wanted to win. I mean, I came to win. I didn't come to get second or third. I mean, second is the first loser, is what I was always thinking. But, you know, as I have gotten older and my children have gotten older, the things that I saw them learn from that livestock project, that's what I learned. And you never get too old to learn. But that is one of the things that I learned, of how important that project was to teach those kids how to win, how to lose, because we did our share of both. And so, I mean, that to me, that's exactly what Terry was talking about. But it takes some of us a little longer to kind of get to that point. But I got there, and that's the main thing. And that's where I see the importance of that project, for sure.
One of the things that I noticed, my daughter played basketball, and you, some of these same things that you were talking about in the arena are the same things that happen, you know, on the basketball court too. It's just it's a different sport, so to speak. But one of the things that I noticed early on, and it's in those, when they're young and you're in the youth league, you know, a lot of time you have a different coach every year. I mean, because it's volunteers, and you appreciate those coaches. But the one thing that I picked up on early on was that the kids on that team they was going to take the lead on what the coach was doing. So in a situation that was a little tense, but if that coach stayed calm and that coach, you know, then the kids would kind of follow their lead. On the flip side of that, if that coach was absolutely losing it out there, then the kids was losing it too. They, you know, and, you know, we laugh about it, but it is true. You've seen it. We've all seen this happen. But
oh, yeah, I've seen it, and I've had it's happened yeah. to me too, yeah.
And so, but where I'm going with that is to go along with, David, with what you said and also what you've been saying is that we as the adults in the room sometimes have to step back and remember it's not all about winning. You know, we got to do our best, but sometimes we have to step back and say, okay, this is the real goal of this is that we're moving in the right direction. We're learning every time we do something, win or lose. What'd we learn from that? And I think that in the livestock arena, just like the sport arena, that happens every competition.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So many times we played the game to win.
Sure.
I mean, that's why you keep score. I've heard people say that. But at the same time, when we put winning above what the child is, you know, I've heard Warren say many times, we've got to make the child bigger than the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's the great thing about showmanship competitions. Absolutely. At these livestock mm-hmm. shows is, you can have a $50 pig and be very, very competitive in showmanship. That $50 pig's probably going to get an earth tone ribbon in the pig class. Mm-hmm. So it's about where you put your pressure in terms of what you hope that child gains from it. And that's why I say it's a youth development activity, just like any other activity, be it shooting sports, be it whatever that kids are involved in today. It's I'm a firm believer that anything we do that will develop a young person's passion for anything besides sitting in the house watching television is a great activity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree. You've judged 1,200 shows, or about to. They've not all been in Kentucky.
No.
So, you know, just share with us where all you have traveled and what the judging arena, so to speak, has done for you, and as far as where you've been and the opportunities that you've had, just in being a judge in the livestock.
Well, I, as my wife says, if a show calls, I go, and that's about right. I have been blessed to judge in 43 of the states here in the nation. Really, the only states I've not judged in are in Hawaii. They do have a fair in Hawaii, and the very, very Northeast. Now, I'm starting to get more shows in the very Northeast, so I hope. There are two or three of us national judges that are getting close to have judged in all 50 states. So, mm-hmm. so I look forward to maybe that possibility. But, you know, I think about the Alaska State Fair. You know, you say Alaska State Fair, but yeah. I had the opportunity several years ago to do that show, and as you would expect, livestock are a bit different there. All the hog, they have a wonderful hog show at the Alaska State Fair. All the children get the hogs from the state prison system.
Mm. Oh.
So that was kind of unique. They show llamas there. They pygmy goats are the biggest thing in the world in the state of Alaska. They have about, I think the year that I did it, close to 300 head of pygmy goats at the Alaska State Fair. And they all came from a petting zoo originally that moved from the U.S. to Alaska. So all these things are little inbred related to each other, but yeah. There's a lot of them. Probably the most unique thing about Alaska is they do show reindeer.
Oh,
and
wow.
We judged reindeer in Alaska, and that was pretty exciting to say the least. And they show them just like cattle. And when I got the call to go, they said it just in passing. You'll do all the species and llamas and reindeer and la la la. And I didn't want to sound like I wasn't qualified, you know. So I just said, well, that'll be great. I knew I had two friends who had judged Alaska in the past. So I called the first one, Scott Shockey, that was at Kansas State. He was at UK for a while coaching the judging team. And I said, Scott, I got a call to do the Alaska State Fair. And he just started laughing at me. And I said, what are you laughing about? He said, the reindeer. And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, it's no big deal. He said, same family wins every year. I said, well, that really doesn't help me. He said, you'll know who it is. He said, big guy, white beard, red suit, wins every year. So I hung up on him.
Yeah, good friend.
Oh, yeah. So I called my other friend that had judged there, and I said, hey, I'm doing the Alaska State Fair. I got the same response. He laughed at me. And he said, oh, it's real simple. He said, it's no big deal. He said, when you get there, he said, right in the rings, this about 8 by 4 foot square box. And I said, okay. He said, you just hook them up to it one at a time. The first one airborne wins. And so I go to Alaska still not knowing what I'm doing with reindeer. But then to come to find out, as I should have known, it's a common protein source in the mm-hmm. diet there. Like for breakfast, they have reindeer sausage. You mm-hmm. know, at lunch, it's not uncommon to have reindeer hamburgers mm-hmm. and reindeer steak at night. So you judge them just like steers. And mm-hmm. so these kids are showing their reindeer. But every child applies with the state government. And they paid the same amount of money, and they get this reindeer, and they show it for a number of years, and then they sell them at the state fair as the conclusion of this project. And so it was a great experience.
Wow.
You know, I tell folks about, you know, the Texas majors, Houston, San Antonio, those deals. You know, I've been blessed to judge them all. And, you know, Houston's one I'll never forget. I did the market goats at Houston, you know, and have 3,000 head of those things, you know, and you got 270 to 300 in a class, and you just place them. And so it's such an amazing experience. And but I tell folks today at my age, although doing the big ones is such an honor, be it the North American, be it Kansas City, who's just finishing up now, whatever, the Texas majors, to me, I would have never said this back in the days when I was running around with David, but the small county fairs have grown to me to be the thing I enjoy doing because I have the time to spend more with the kids and to work with the kids and to try to help those kids. And so, you know, I had signed a contract to judge this little county fair in Ohio, and then Indiana State Fair calls right on top of the same date, you know, wanting me to judge one of their major shows. Some judges would have turned the county fair down, but I won't do that. To me, if you call me and I'm open and I can get there, if it's a 5-head show or a 500-head show,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd just soon do the 5-head show and spend time with the kids, and because that's how I started. That's yeah. where my background is and where my passion's at. My passion, people tell me I'm an educator judge. And I guess as I've gotten older, I notice it more that I spend a lot more time trying to teach them than I do just judging mm-hmm. them. But the great thing to me is almost after every show, I will have parents come to me and thank me for teaching their child why rather than just telling them why. And so that's my passion to the livestock thing. Yeah.
And that's why you've judged 1,200 shows.
Yeah.
Because of that respect for you, because of the way that you do that.
Yeah. You know, and a couple of years ago, I had to give Terry a lot of credit. He judged a special needs show up in Henderson County. And, you know, that was a unique experience. And Terry, tell our listeners kind of what you get out of doing those type of things.
Well, it's those special needs shows are just like the sunshine class that we now have at the state fair. And so kids who be they physically handicapped, mentally handicapped, whatever the situation, those challenged children. Lots of times those kids, they're not their animals. It's just a project where they, maybe for 3 or 4 weeks, they go out and they work with these animals, and they just try to bond to the animals. And so many times that's why we use goats in this project with the Sunshine Kids, because goats are just like, they just bond to the kids. And and so these kids then come out and they have a show, and they're all champions. You know, I tell them, you know, it's a, for 10 kids, it's a 10-way tie. But it really is. Because what those kids get out of it is, I mean, you can look at their faces, you know. They don't know whether they were first or 10th, and it doesn't matter. The joy in their face and the tears in the mama's and daddy's eyes, just watching these kids go out there and perform and do that is such a big deal. And I've been very blessed in my life to do several of those shows. And when I do them, I tell that, you know, the show always asks you, well, what do we owe you? I won't take money for those, because yeah, it's about the kids, but I'll be honest with you, the joy that I get from working with those kids, and just, maybe they won't ever remember this old fat bald-headed guy, but I won't forget them. So a lot of those kids actually, you know, I did a deal in Pennsylvania this summer where there was a boy in a wheelchair that and I think he had Duchenne's, and almost won the whole show. And I tried every way in the world to get him to win the show. But you know, to watch his parents, you know, and him, I mean, he had a little rack built on the side of his wheelchair where the sheep, and he showed a goat too, where it's in that rack, and he would lead them around. And then another child would kind of help brace the sheep or goat for him while I handled them. And I mean, and this kid, the whole time, he's got this smile on his face with his thumb up, you know, and I thought, you know, and I made my little spiel at the end, you know, crying as I was doing it. Why can't we all approach this thing like that young man?
That's right.
And so it, I guess I'm getting old and soft, to me, that's why I do this. It's not about, you know, so there are judges out there today, unfortunately, that it's about them. Mm-hmm. It's about the show. It's about them. It's about the prestige of the event. Has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about that child and that experience, and that's the way I told my wife, the day that I lose that, tell me, because I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a shame that we, you know, the knowledge I have now about the livestock industry, it's a shame I didn't have that on the front end of what all that we, but it took all of that to get to where I'm at now. But, you know, if we could have watched some of these Sunshine classes and some of these kids, because I was there at that show that you did in Henderson County, and, you know, to listen to my daughter tell about what they did the first time that they brought the goats out compared to where they were at when you actually judged the show, she said it was just an amazing transformation.
Oh yeah, it's, you know, I think I'm a firm believer that nothing we do in life for the benefit of any child, if it's truly for the benefit of that child, it's a worthwhile thing. I don't care what the child's doing. And I think that's just the perfect example, you know, of why the youth livestock program is such a phenomenal youth activity. And ultimately in its foundation, it goes back to what those Sunshine kids get out of that. They won't ever forget those experiences. They may not understand them completely, and that's fine. That's fine. But they that experience is so rewarding to them and their family that I've never heard a family involved in those activities to ever say, "I don't believe I'll ever do that again." Yeah. It was always a positive experience. Yeah. And that's the great thing about it.
And I think, too, that goes back to kind of what we've been saying. It's the kids, how can you complain when you see the kids just shining and the kids just, it doesn't matter if they have the earth tone colors, that's
right.
Ribbons.
That's right.
Because that's not the priority to them. And, you know, and I think that's there again, that's one of those times where I think we can all step back and learn from those kids. Because a lot of times those kids are teaching us. We think we're teaching them, but a lot of times they're teaching us. And I know that I've had the opportunity to, with our school system, they call it the mentor program, where you are matched with a student, in the county, and it's a time for you to just go be a mentor, but you just kind of go during the day, you know, sometime, and you talk to them. If they need help with some homework, you do that. If you just want to take them out in the gym and shoot some hoops or whatever, but it's that you've invested some time and, you know, with those. And so often, and I know that over the years, some that I had mentored, you know, you go in there thinking that you're going to help them, but it really changes your perspective too. Because like you said, it's like, wow, it's one of those wow moments of, it really puts it back into reality for us sometimes to get out of our own head and quit and figure out where the priority really is. And, and I think the live, you know, the with what you're doing and the youth livestock program itself, it's just, it does so much. And it's kind of hard. I mean, you just can't really, you could do 10 shows and still not talk about all the benefits from it.
You know, we're all passionate about a lot of things, but I have to give Terry credit. He is as passionate as anybody that I've ever been around about livestock showing, but he's more passionate about kids. Yep. And kudos to you, my friend.
That's right.
Well, thank you, guys. I do. It is my passion. You know, and like most folks, you know, who do anything for a long period of time, I lost that passion a little bit 15, 20 years ago, just prior to us when we went out of country for a period of time. And I'll be honest, in that time period when I wasn't doing any livestock, I didn't miss it. But then once we came back to the States, that passion was reinstilled in me. And so I started doing it again. I can tell you, when you spend 200 nights a year in a hotel and you're doing 100 and some odd shows a year, traveling all over the country, it's got to be a passion. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, the traveling, the arrangements, the 40 airplane tickets we've got on reserve and all that, I'd give that up in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But once you get in that ring and those kids start coming in, it just changes. I mean, the pains that we feel as we get older, they just kind of go away. I mean, when you see those faces, I think about, you know, I talked about that child that perhaps, you know, is upset because they're second or third. I also think about that child in the state of Texas that you place him 15th, and he just jumps for joy. He's a teenage boy, and he's jumping for joy because he made the cut. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the passion. That's what drives me. And I think anybody involved in the livestock thing is to see that child. Maybe they don't win it, but they feel like they have found that I succeeded. I succeeded. And that's all you hope for them. You do want it to be a positive experience. And that's what I hope as a judge that I always convey to those kids. I want it to be positive, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to do it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You know, towards the end of this show, we always like to wrap things up with a timely tip. And of all the things we've talked about today, we decided ahead of time that a good timely tip for all the adults that might be listening to this is to always be willing to help youth in their livestock experiences or any other activities that they may be involved in. You can help them by being a mentor. You can help kids you've never met before or may never know just simply by being a volunteer at a local show, at a fair, some of these larger events that we've talked about. Always be willing to help a kid in their journey. If nothing else, make sure, as you've said, that they come away from whatever they're doing with a positive experience. And I think that'd be a good thing for all of us to remember.
I think that's a very timely tip. Absolutely.
Sounds good. Well, Mr. Burks, we certainly appreciate you being here with us today. We thank you for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.